good morning to you. David Sheehan with you here on Horizons. Today is the sixth Sunday in Easter, and I hope you're well. Recently here in the diocese, we had a big event in Killarney known as the Conference of Possibilities. So we'll be looking back on that today. We'll be speaking to some of the attendees, as well as the organizer. First up, Colette O'Doherty. Welcome to Horizons.
Thank you, David. It's great to be here.
Last weekend, the Conference of Possibilities went on, and I thought it was a fantastic success. But I wanted to talk to you about it, because you were the organizer. And firstly, I wanted to know, how did this all come about? What sparked the idea for this in your head?
Well, as you know, I started the position of coordinator of youth ministry back in September. And initially, I went around to a lot of the parishes, a lot of the pastoral committees, and I felt it might be important to organise a conference that would enable these parishes to get a sense of exactly what organisations are out there to support them in the work with young people within their parishes. And that's really how it started.
That's fantastic. So it seems like something like this is a lot of work. How far in advance did you have to start putting things together?
I suppose the thought process came into being in November of last year. And then really, I'm so familiar with a lot of the organizations that are out there nationally. I started really with the name, the Conference of Possibilities, because what I was trying to say to parishes is, what is possible? What is possible out there? And once I started ringing organizations that I knew worked with young people and were providing free support, free resources, which we always want, once they heard the title, Conference of Possibilities, it was almost like a door open right to the conference, because everybody loved the sound of it, because that's what we're all trying to do. We're trying to make possible what is possible. So I have to say, it was an easy process. It was an easy process, because once I started ringing organizations, organization after organization, immediately were saying, yes, we want to be part of this. They were energized by the feel of it. And I think you felt that energy on the day, which is so amazing, because they brought that energy with them.
Yeah, definitely. You can always tell when there's authenticity and enthusiasm behind what something is working on. And the room was full of enthusiasm. So I know this is an unfair question, because you organized the day, essentially asking you to grade yourself. How do you think the day went?
How do I think the day went? Obviously, one of the key concerns I had in organizing this day, it was a live event. In other words, we didn't have any pre-registration. We kind of just sent word out only to parishes, to clergy, to pastoral leaders, to deacons, because they were, to me, they're the key holders of each of the parishes. If these organizations are going to be called into a parish, these are the people that are going to invite them in. So I was nervous before the day because I had no idea of numbers. And thanks be to God, we had to get extra seats, which is always a good thing to see and witness. And if I had to look back, I suppose, critically and see what would we have done better, maybe we would have widened our reach. But I heard Liz, she was representing Camp Veritas, and she was talking to the bishop at the time, and I joined in the conversation. And I suppose she was so enthused with the day, because one of the things that she felt she took away from the day was contacts. So whereas I was providing an opportunity for parishes to come in and meet with all these stallholders, as we called them on the day, actually, each of those organizations wanted to meet each other. And because they're all on the same journey, they're all doing the same thing, and they're all trying to get their reach out there as much as possible. So one of the things she took away was she was trying to see if the bishop would tell other bishops and kind of go, can we have this in other dioceses? You know, so that was great to hear. Bigger and better is always something we want to do. If I wanted to critique, yes, we're bringing in extra chairs. But really, it's about the fruits afterwards. This now has to go into action. Now we have to see that these parishes opened the door to these organizations. The day was fabulous. It was absolutely fabulous. The Holy Spirit was present, as everybody witnessed. But now the work comes into play. Now we need the work to start.
I hate using such a business term, but it did seem like a fantastic networking opportunity for everybody. And everybody did seem to network with each other.
Yes, in actual fact, I was talking to Eileen O'Driscoll. She was on the Radio Maria stall. And one of the things she said was, Colette, I couldn't leave my stall. How fabulous is that? She couldn't get away even for a coffee. We had to bring a coffee to her because everybody was going around. I suppose the way it was set up was we had organised that each of the organisations would get a 5-minute presentation opportunity. So we would bring up 5 of the stalls at a time and they would present in those 5 minutes. So what is that? 25 minutes. Then they would sit, go back to their stalls. And then we would invite everybody to go around to the stalls. So that was the way we operated for the day until all the stalls had talked or presented, which was 20 stalls in total. Now, we could have filled far more. We actually were getting a request the night before the conference from a stall possibility. Could they have a stall there? And we had to say no, because we were already tight on space and we had no time for extra presentations. But it gives you a sense of the enthusiasm out there for organisations to say, where these opportunities arise, we want to be part of it.
And as well as it getting everybody acquainted with each other and making connections, which is fantastic, it was also the launching pad for a number of different things, if you want to talk about those.
Absolutely. The first launch we had on the day was the Spirit Programme. Now, the Spirit Programme is a new programme here to the Diocese of Kerry. And anyone that was there on the day would have witnessed a lot of people walking around with gorgeous red hoodies with the word Spirit on them. And they are the new leaders, the new youth leaders that we are currently training to get out there with the Spirit Programme, which is aimed at 15, 16-year-olds. So even though we actually launched the programme on the day, it's already started. We're halfway through the training programme. You would have seen the day, and I'm sure you would have met a lot of the youth leaders. They themselves were filled with an enthusiasm for the day and brought a lovely colour aspect to the day as well. What we hope to do in September is those youth leaders are representative of 6 to 7 parishes, and they are going to set up the youth programme in their parishes for teenagers, 15, 16-year-olds, primarily TY students. Because as we know, they're in a year where they have the time and space to actually get involved in projects like this. So once these leaders are actually completing their training in September, they'll be going around to the schools in their area, inviting young people to be part of their youth group. And these are the 6 parishes that we're concentrating on at the moment: Ballyduff, Tralee, Killarney, Spofianit, Milltown and Rathmore. And although Rathmore already have their youth group up and running, they're going to actually embed the Spirit Programme into it. And the Spirit Programme, I suppose, for people who want to know, what does it mean? What's the difference between a youth group and this Spirit Youth Group? Well, what we do is we have a personal and spiritual programme that works, that runs from September to May. And that's allowing young people the space really to see their own self-value, their self-worth, and realise what life is all about. And although there's a thread of faith that's going to run through it, we're actually going to drop in stronger faith opportunities for those who want to avail of them, such as we will be offering a pilgrimage to Medjugorje. We'll also be offering trips to Knock or any other opportunities that we see arise that will really enable these young people to kind of engage with their faith and work out what it means to them. So we're so excited about this. This is just such a wonderful programme, and we're looking forward to engaging with that. And while we're first of all starting with 6 parishes, believe it or not, we actually have other parishes that are lining up their leaders for the next phase. So it looks like I'll be heading down towards Kilgarve and Glengarve to assist down as far as the Bear Island, over across to Kenmare and Sneem. So, and I know the other side are already thinking as well about their youth leaders. So this is going to be very exciting. We're going to look at a diocese with lovely little spirit spots all over it, which is wonderful. Now, there is one other launch that took place, and this is something else that also is going to be part of the Spirit Youth Groups. We launched the Pope John Paul II Awards, and I believe we were the last diocese to have them, which was fabulous. for the launch of it. It almost feels like Ireland is complete in when it comes to the Pope John Paul II Awards. So what are the Pope John Paul II Awards? Well, they're an award possibility which enables young people to get either bronze, silver or gold by doing work in their parish and community. So it's a real opportunity for young people to look around their parish community and see, what can I do to help? This is also very important for their self-value because it's something that they have to do selflessly. And that's how we build self-worth and self-value. And we'll support them in all of that, and the parishes will support them in all of that as well. So we are so excited. And on the day, Tony Brennan, the National Director of the Pope John Paul II Awards, presented a certificate to Bishop Ray to mark the occasion, which was fabulous. And I might just add, the Knights of Columbanus has so generously supported us in the Pope John Paul II Awards. So their funding is going to enable the purchase of all the medals that are going to be required by the awards programme. We are so grateful to the Knights of Columbanus, and in particular Eugene McGuinness from SNEAM, who was instrumental in making this happen.
Yeah, definitely. Well done to the Knights of Columbanus, and well done to you as well. This whole thing seems like the definition of a runaway success, that you're going to be doing so much more in the future. And I'm sure you're going to have lots of news for Horizons about things that are upcoming that people can attend.
Well, that is the plan, but it's always a team effort, David. Nothing like this stands on its own. And as you saw at the conference, we just gave a lot of kudos to the youth leaders who are coming on board, because they're the ones that are going to be on the path. They're the ones that are going to enable a lot of this to happen. And that is going to be absolutely crucial to the success of this programme. But also, as you would have heard me say on the day, this is God's will. This is where this all started, by handing over to God, miracles occur. There's been an awful lot of prayer that has gone into this, and this is detrimental to the success of the programme. This isn't our plan. We'd like to think this is God's plan for the diocese. So he's leading the way and making it very easy for us all.
And I have to say as well, well done to the Spirit Youth leaders in their branded hoodies. They were the perfect overlap between professionalism and friendliness, and they made everything very easy on the day and all the organisational before and afterwards. They did fantastic work. So well done to them.
Absolutely. It was great to see the smiles on everyone's faces. And also well done to those who attended. I mean, there was a lot of clergy there. There was a lot of deacons. There were a lot of pastoral leaders, and there were members of the pastoral committees. And that is fabulous. They got up on a sunny morning in Killarney, and this is where they came to. Now, we ended at 1 o'clock, so I'd like to think that they enjoyed the rest of the afternoon. And indeed, we had some organisations that came from Donegal, Derry, Down, Dublin, Tipperary, Galway. So a lot of those availed of the opportunity to stay an extra day in Killarney, which is so wonderful. So it had a lovely mix of sunshine, smiles, enthusiasm, the Holy Spirit. And I really do believe everybody left with a smile on their face and hope in their hearts.
Excellent. Colette, if anyone's listening and they want to connect in with what you're doing, where would you recommend they go?
So if anybody is interested, I would say go to your parish priest and let them know. And the parish priest will give me the details of those people that are interested in coming on board. That's number one. Also, I suppose it's about encouraging families to encourage their young people to be part of something like this. I have seen transformations in young people. We're living in an era where a lot of parents will understand these words when they hear them, where there is high anxiety for their young person in schools, where there is possibly school refusal taking place for young people, where our kids are very nervous about the environment they're in. What we have seen when young people join something positive, and Pope Francis was very, he had a great speech about providing this space for young people. But when we do provide a space that is the right space for young people to recognise their own potential, it is life-saving and transformative. So we would also encourage parents, see if there's a Spirit Youth group or a youth group that's run by their parish in their own parish, and encourage their young people to be part of it.
That's very wise, because definitely the modern world has advanced at an exponential rate, and the things that can cause youth anxiety has just more than multiplied in the time since. So parents might not know all the tools that are available, but with all these youth groups that you've connected with, there's just boundless knowledge, and I'm sure someone can help ease the anxieties of the parents and the children. So it's a great pursuit, Colette. Well done.
Thank you, David.
Colette O'Doherty, thank you very much for coming on Horizons.
It has been a pleasure, and thank you, David.
After the break, more from the Conference of Possibilities. Welcome back to Horizons.
My name is Elma Walsh, and I'm here with the Donal Walsh Live Life Foundation. Well, it was started up after Donal died. He died in 2013, and before he died, he wrote two letters that came to prominence, initially with Radio Kerry and Kerry's Eye, and then it was picked up by RTE, and Donal was asked onto the show, and from there, everything really is still going from that conversation. So the foundation was set up then because, really and truly, because we started getting a lot of money to the house. So we have given all that money out to various local charities, national charities as well. It's more focused on faith-based now, and we're invited by people all the time to speak at their events, be it schools or churches or community events or different events. And from that then, we developed the his annual retreat day, which is his anniversary. And we have that at Knock annually, and it is now turned into what I'm told anyway is the biggest Catholic annual youth event in Ireland, and some say in Europe. And we've over 2,500 young people, I think it reached 2,800 last year, that attend every year. So it's a full day event, and we have workshops and guest speakers and different events going on, so it's a full day retreat.
That's fantastic. What kind of events do you have happening around the country?
Well, we don't organise any events. People ask us to their events. So it could be schools, it could be novenas, it could be mental health events, it could be fundraisers for hospitals or hospices. Really, it's based around the three topics that Donal spoke about, which was teenage mental health, conditions for hospitals and hospices for teenagers, and faith. And that's what the foundation is really around.
Do you think doing work like this in a faith space separates you out from like different charity organisations who wouldn't be based on faith?
No, I don't think so, because we have given to all charities, be it mental health with Theatre House, hospices in Kerry and Limerick and various other hospices. No, I think that they see Donal for what he was, you know. He came out as a normal young fella at 16 years of age. They saw that he was wearing the earring and had the gear and everything, and he just, like any other young fella, but he just wanted people to live their lives and live their lives into the future. The next event coming up will be his annual anniversary at Knock, and it will be on Thursday the 7th of May. Now, while we do have young people coming, we have a lot of people of all age groups, so if anybody's interested, they're more than welcome to join us on the day. It really is a very good day, and we finish with Mass in the Basilica at about 2 o'clock, and the whole event is over by about 3:30. So it's while it is a day event, it's not too long.
I'm holding a prayer card here. Could you tell me about Donal's prayer card?
The Diocese put together this prayer card last year for Knock, and it was launched at Knock. It's very popular. When I do go to schools, all the young people like it, as well as the wristbands. The wristbands are very popular with all age groups again, but I do find it's mostly the men that like the wristbands, and it says live life, a door will open, Donal Walsh. So those both items are very popular with young people, and you know, I suppose one of the latest schools I went to was in County Clare, and because I was visiting that school, the students were asked to write about Donal, and one student said that he thinks of committing suicide every day. So because of that, there was help got, and his life was saved, and the teachers and the people are involved in everything, so involved with him and trying to getting better than that. So, you know, it does have an effect, and he still is reaching people of all ages. And I suppose that's the important thing to get out as well, is that just to pray to Donal. This prayer card is very good. He always said to me when he was alive, pray to me at all, and if I can, I will help. So I think it was his faith and his spirituality that still resonates with people, and still brings up the conversation of Donal in places.
That's amazing, and it's amazing that you're able to save a life like that. That's great. Congratulations.
Well, we have a lot of letters and cards and things telling us how people improved their lives and how they got help because they needed help and they didn't realise they needed help. So, you know, we're still getting those 13 years later. It's not just... it didn't all just happen in 2013, you know. So that's what keeps us going as well, is that Donal is, I suppose, actively saving lives and helping people, to encouraging people to live better lives.
Elma Walsh, thank you very much for coming on Horizons.
Thank you very much, David. Thanks very much for having me.
You fell in
These are the upcoming events from around the diocese. Today at 5 p.m. in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Kanturk, there is a 30th anniversary concert by the Duhallow Choral Society. Please be aware there is limited availability. Tonight, at 7:30 p.m, the men of St. Joseph's Men Group will have an evening gathering of faith and fellowship, which will take place at the Curragh Parish Centre. On Monday, a large statue of Our Lady of Fatima will be processed from Our Lady in St. Brendan's Church to the Dominican's Church in Tralee. This begins at 7 p.m. The rosary will be recited en route. All are welcome to come and pray for peace. On Tuesday, Anamkara's monthly bereaved parents support evening will take place at 7:30 p.m. in the Meadowlands Hotel. This is a free event open to all bereaved parents. No need to register in advance. For more information, contact info@anamkara.ie. Also on Tuesday, in Castle Island, Padre Pio's May Devotions will take place at 7:30 p.m, witnessed by Father Brian Shortall, the Capuchin friar who delivered the healing glove to Kerry in January of 2021. Bishop Ray Brown will celebrate Mass. St. Pio's healing glove will be available for blessings on the night. Also on Tuesday, at 7 p.m, at the Killarney Plaza Hotel, the Reflections Concert will take place. This is a collection of spiritual and reflective songs by the Killarney Friary Folk Group. On Wednesday, in celebration of the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, the annual rosary on Main Street, Killarney, begins at 3 p.m. It will be recited every month up to and including October. All are welcome. On Friday, Kerry's branch of Cumann na Sagart invites you to their annual Afrin Day in honour of St. Carthage at 3 p.m. in Brusna Parish Church. Following Mass and a pilgrim tourist to the nearby St. Mullig's Holywell, a memorial blaw flask will be placed on the grave of their late Cumann na Sagart colleague, Father Donacha O'Leacha, who passed in 2016. In Spa Parish, there will be a number of events dedicated to St. Brendan over the weekend. On Friday, there will be a procession to his statue at 7 p.m. On Saturday, at 6 a.m, there will be a Mass for swimmers at Locks Beach. Then on Sunday, community Mass in honour of St. Brendan at Fianna Church at 9:30 a.m. On Saturday, the Public Square Rosary Rally Crusade takes place. This is an event where God is asked to save Ireland through the Rosary of His Most Holy Mother. This takes place at 4 p.m. at Dolly's Green, Ballyhaig. On Saturday, people from all over Ireland are invited to Knock Shrine for a special pilgrimage to pray for peace in the Holy Land. All are welcome. More information at acnireland.org. Also on Saturday and Sunday, Father Michael Begley from the Spiritans will be visiting the Castletown Bear Parish. The Spiritans are dedicated to evangelizing the poor and marginalized worldwide. Father Michael will share his own mission experiences with parishioners. Finally, Pope Leo has posted on X, "The Church interprets history through the lens of the Gospel and speaks decisively against all evil as the pilgrim people of God." At the same time, she acknowledges the need for continual conversation so she may properly fulfill her mission. As members of the same body, we are called to renewal. After the break, more from the Conference of Possibilities. Welcome back to Horizons.
My name is Mairead Jennings and I am here with Knock Shrine.
Could you tell me a bit about some of the services you offer as part of Knock Shrine?
Yes, absolutely. So there are so many different ministries that work within Knock Shrine, but the one that I work with is the youth ministry team. So there are three of us on the team, thankfully, so we like to keep ourselves busy. Some of the services that we offer is, for example, a day retreat. A lot of schools come to us from all around the country to just take a little bit of time, a little bit of a pause. Our retreats are very, very relaxed. We're very mindful that our students today, our average group of 30, so many of them are perhaps curious about faith, but they're not really sure what language to use or they're not really sure what that means. So our retreats are very conversational in style. It's all about getting the young people to trust us and to start asking those really good questions. They ask just the best questions. So our day retreats are that. And of course, so it's that pause, it's that reflection time, and it's that trying to help them connect with of God in whatever way they're comfortable with. And of course, we also include in that the history of Knock itself as such an amazing place of pilgrimage. Now, for groups perhaps coming from Kerry, coming from further away, in the last 2 years, the Shrine has opened Knock Youth Village, which provides accommodation for groups coming, and it's specifically for young people, kind of designed with them in mind, obviously with space for them to enjoy themselves, to gather, to have fun, but also, of course, with that safety and security element as well, for peace of mind. So that just means that if a group is travelling 3, 4 hours, 5 hours even, that they can come and that we're not rushing them through their retreat, that they have time then for rest and relaxation and also time for their retreat. So that's been really exciting the last couple of years. The other thing, just as summer is fast approaching us, we have a volunteer programme at the Shrine as well, specifically for kind of our 16 to 18 year olds. It's called the VACS programme, so it stands for Volunteer at Knock Shrine. It's a wonderful programme. It's all about service. So young people, they come to us on a Friday, usually a group of about 20 every weekend, and on Friday we do lots of training, lots of games, lots of getting the group together, helping everyone get to know each other. And then for Saturday and Sunday, we're all volunteering, helping people around the grounds, assisting in whatever way we can. It's a very humbling programme. It's all about simple acts of service and how a kind smile or opening a door for someone can actually be the things in life that can make such huge difference to people and their experiences. So that's a really exciting programme. And some people sign up as individuals. They might just go on our website and sign up, but others come as groups. So some diocese, for example, will bring a group of 20 young people. So it works both ways. It can be a group thing or an individual thing. But it's a lovely programme.
How do you feel it is primarily working with the youth as opposed to working with adults?
For me, I love working with young people. My background is in youth work, so I think even though I can and I do at times work with adult groups, it's just my passion. Like, I think you have to be really passionate about it. You can't pretend, you can't fake it with young people. They'll see right through you very quickly. But I think that's what we, as our team, we all enjoy that. It's the area that we've chosen to qualify in and to progress in then, and choosing ministry as the pathway to do that. I think there are similarities to facilitating with young people or with adults. I just love the rawness young people will come with. Their questions, as I said, are just fantastic. And if you get them to a place where they're trusting you and they're relaxed, we could have the most interesting conversations where no one's afraid of offending anyone or asking a question that's not allowed. Like, that shouldn't be in that space. Whereas I think sometimes as we get older and older, we put ourselves in boxes. I think that's just human. I think that's not a bad thing either. But when you get them when they're young, those conversations are so energetic. They're so imaginative. Yeah, I just love it.
I hear a lot about new youth groups cropping up around the diocese in different churches around the place. You're obviously very experienced at running this and doing things like that. Would you have any advice for anyone if they were thinking of starting up a youth group?
My first thing is, do it. Don't overthink it. You know, like, approach your parish priest, approach your parish council and say, look, this is the thought, this is the call I feel I'm having, and then find the steps. Like, obviously there's a lot to it in terms of safeguarding and making sure you have enough volunteers. A big piece of advice I always give to someone, if it's you yourself thinking about this, is don't try and do it alone. Working with young people, it takes a lot of energy, and of course you want to be mindful of yourself. Mind yourself when you go in to volunteer in anything like this. So find a team. Put a note in the newsletter that says, I'm looking to maybe set something up in our parish for young people. I'm not really sure what that looks like yet, but I need others like me. That's a great first step. You know, go to your parish priest. Can I put this note in the newsletter? Do I have your backing for this? And most parish priests will be so delighted that you're coming to them, because they need help. They can't do it all by themselves. We actually have a program in September. We do a training program in Knock as part of our work for adults looking to become youth ministers in their parish or in their diocese or in their workplace, wherever that might look like. So we partner with YouthLink and we partner with Redemptorist Youth Ministry Ireland. So it's a partly practical, partly academic program, but you get all of your training. It starts off with those really practical group work skills. How do I bring people together? How do we start that? How do we get our safeguarding right? How do we get our policies? All those things that we do now need. But then it journeys into what kind of things might interest young people in my parish? What kind of project could I start? Looking at how much time you realistically have to give. And then the end of the program program is lovely because the Redemptorist Youth Ministry team come in and they take all that practical learning and they ground it in our scriptures. They ground it in why this is so important. It's not just about numbers in churches. It's about why our young people, we need to be welcoming them in to this space. So that's called the NOC Youth Leadership Program. So that is for adults, but it's all about training people in being able to become confident, skilled youth ministers. Yeah.
Murray Jennings of the NOC Shrine Youth Group.
Yes.
Thank you very much for coming on Horizons.
Thank you so much for having me.
Lord, we are not worthy to receive you, but say the word and we shall be healed. Lord, we are not worthy to come before you. We stand in humbleness before our God. You are the Lord Most High. You are our King. Happy are we who come to your table.
Can I get you to say your name?
Tony Brennan, National Coordinator of the Pope John Paul II Award.
So today was a very momentous day for the Pope John Paul II Awards. Could you tell me what happened?
So today the award, the JP2 Award, was launched in the Diocese of Kerry. The award was started in the Diocese of Derry in 2026. So 20 years later, we're delighted now that it's starting in Kerry. And to explain what the award is for aimed at 16 to 18 year olds to encourage and reward them and recognize them for their contribution that they make to their parish and faith community. It is a award that works in along two strands. One, the participant is asked to do two activities a week. It could be over 8, 14 or 20 weeks. And those activities involved being based in your parish or faith community to do a project or an activity around faith, and also to do another project each week or activity around social awareness. And there are many initiatives in the parishes here that I'm hearing about today that are focusing on prayer. They're encouraged to do social activities. It could be volunteering with Trocra, volunteering with their local charities, fundraising, all of those type of activities.
One thing I thought was very interesting listening to you talk above was you were mentioning that even though these are awards rooted in faith, that your faith doesn't have to be the Catholic faith, and even you said that you don't have to have any faith at all.
That's right. The award is created for all faiths and none. And that's a challenge for our parishes. Nowadays, we are a parish that's open to all, and the award wants to reflect that. It was the message of Pope John Paul himself, and when we work with parishes, one of the frequent questions we're asked is, we don't want to exclude, and that's not what it's about. How can we encourage fellow classmates to be part of the award that may not be of the Catholic faith? And what we say is, yes, the award is based on the Catholic faith, but it is open to all. And I gave some examples today of participants right across the country who of Muslim faith, of Hindu faith, of different faiths, who today are actively involved and being recognized for their contribution to their own communities, to the communities around them, to their own faith communities. And that's what the award is all about, recognizing all young people for their contribution to their own faith and the faiths around them.
I understand as well in this regard that the Diocese of Kerry is Johnny come lately with regard to the awards. What's the story there?
Well, you see, what we had to do is we had to make sure we were getting the model right. And then it took us 20 years, and then Kerry was ready. And we decided, right, Kerry, now is your time. Now, we won't say better late than never. We'd never say that. But we greatly welcome Kerry to the network of dioceses around the country.
So now is every diocese in the country part of the John Paul II Awards?
As of today, most certainly, yes. We're delighted about that.
Thank you very much for coming down and doing this. I understand it was quite a far drive, you coming all the way down from Derry here to Killarney.
From Derry to Killarney is 6 hours. But it was worth waking up this morning in the silence and the bowl of silence in Killarney. And you can hear, and you can see the mist on the mountains, but you could hear it you could hear the pressure in the ears of the silence. It was worth the trip.
Excellent. Thank you very much for coming on Horizons.
Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you very much for listening to Horizons. Feel free to contact me on davidsheehan@dioceseofkerry.ie. Thank you very much to all my contributors. And Just the Thought for the coming week is by David Bottomer. Until this time next Sunday, I hope you have a wonderful week.